and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, The Wicker Man, a 1973 film directed by Robin Hardy. This was your pick this week, Michelle. Would you care to elaborate?
I know Yusuf likes it a lot.
Yeah.
So I wanted to watch it.
All right. Well, what did you think then?
It wasn't really what I was expecting.
Really?
But it was interesting.
What were you expecting?
I don't know.
Well, it was described in Cine Fantastique as the Citizen Kane of horror movies. Is it that? Did you expect that?
No.
I can see where they can kind of glean that from, because this is a very different type of horror movie. I think the closest parallel would be, I guess, Midsommar, the cultic horror stuff. But compared to Midsommar, I thought this was a lot better. I really liked this. I thought this was very, very effective because it showed that it felt like they put a lot of research into like the pagan stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all presented in a very matter-of-fact way and not with like creepy angle, creepy music and like, oh, look at how fucked up these people are. Mm-hmm. It's all just kind of laid out for you, and the music remains kind of light and happy throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it kind of really sells the horror. That is so much more effective because it's so much more unnerving. It feels realistic. It feels like these are real people who just kind of believe in this. As opposed to Midsommar, where it feels like, oh, these are creepy. Look how creepy these Swedes are. And like, it's like, oh, she's been lured into a trap. And that doesn't become obvious in this until the very, very end. Even if you, I did know like the structure of this and the ending going in. Yusuf, you really like this.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I mean, I like creepy psychological horror films. That not necessarily like scary, but the vibe is scary. So this Rosemary's Baby.
I was thinking about that a lot.
Yeah, that sort of a tone where it just builds and builds and builds and builds, and then at the end it just explodes.
Yeah.
So this was a perfect example of that. It just kept like, you know, building and building.
There's a lot of like cultural subtext, like this, that's I found fascinating because there just appeared it came out. The stuff about religion was fantastic because there's like, oh, it's maybe the 70s, all the music sounds kind of like the sort of thing you would hear at Woodstock. And I think that's very intentional. And then you have our protagonist who represents the establishment.
So and Burning Man festivals, it's not related at all.
No.
I don't
know. Maybe they got the idea from this film.
I had to look into it, but I don't think Burning Man was like entirely. For context, this was Michelle's idea of what. Oh, this is not a real thing. No, I guess fortunately, pagan sacrifice is not like a thing people practice. I don't know. Maybe somewhere. I love the fishing town in this. It feels so rustic and lived in.
Is it a fishing town?
I don't know. It feels like not. It's just the island itself. Like, it reminds me of that movie Fisherman's Friends that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, all those people.
You're going from the top to Scotland, from the very bottom to Cornwall.
Oh, that's true. That's true. It's different type of people. But all the pagan stuff, fascinating. And there's so much to think about with the religion. And also what stance the movie is trying to take, because it almost feels like at times like this guy is just like he just doesn't understand these people, and he just refuses to understand these people. He treats them with disdain. He calls them pagans and heretics and all of that. But ultimately, is he like this? Does he deserve his fate? Is the director trying to like say that?
Why would he deserve it?
Well,
because he doesn't believe in religion,
or not because he doesn't believe it, but he shuns them, right? He holds on. He thinks he really holds himself as like above all of them, because they didn't believe in established Christ, he sees them as he barges into their homes.
They see him in like a similar way because he believes in Christ, right? So they sacrifice him for that.
Or is it because he's like supposedly representing the king? Because here's the stuff about the law. Like, he comes here in the guise of law, right? He's looking for a missing girl. He's a policeman. His establishment, surface level, is
it's not
like
the king. There's a queen.
Oh, that's true.
It's Queen Elizabeth.
All right. So I guess with them, when they say he's like the king's servant, he is. They are indicating that he is, like, yeah, a Christian. Yusuf, when did you watch this?
I think like 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the remake. and the remake is not very good at all. For one, the remake truly lies, like, plays this as a hard, straight horror movie. These are creepy cultists that Nicolas Cage is sent to try to investigate. But that's where it fails, because it's American. Also, like, the cult angle is played up as, like, without much thought put into it, but there's a lot of thought put into this.
I mean, it's also like Mayday. There's a Mayday holiday still in the UK. Like, we have a day off for that.
Pagans.
So I don't know why we do.
Hmm. Is pagan?
What does that say?
Does that even, is that still like a cultural? No, nothing.
No.
Like, you won't find people like worshiping the old gods.
I mean, there probably is, but it's not like a. They have a big church dedicated to it.
Isn't Alan Moore that?
What?
Really?
I think he worships inside. Like, yeah, some weird snake god, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that's what makes if that makes him write good comics, then like, hold up.
Comics?
Alan Moore, yeah, he's the guy who did.
I'm thinking of Alan Watts.
Oh.
Oh. Isn't he more Buddhist than anything?
Yeah, well, that's why I was confused.
But it's like, and also, the angle that. The original idea of the island, I thought that was so interesting, because Christopher Lee's character explains, like, his grandfather is just, like, this, like, Victorian scientist, and he found, like, the soil was, like, specifically great for cultivation or some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of manipulated the people into working it through these pagan rites. So the idea of, like, this all started out from this idea of trying to, I don't know, there's like, not religious-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he just saw the idea of, oh, I can make use of this land, and through rituals and stuff, I can force these people to work a little bit harder to get something out of it, and that kind of gets twisted into them strictly just believing in the rituals, and that's how it's supposed mm-hmm. to work.
It reminds me of, like, when I went to Belfast, I went on some tour, and they showed you, like, this island kind of off the coast,
mm-hmm.
and how they talked about it was like, they don't follow laws in this island. You'll have 10-year-olds driving cars and stuff.
Yeah. And who's to say that they're wrong? I think film makes, like, a good point. It's like, well, who are you to come in and judge them when, I don't know. Because there's the stuff about, like, the church is in ruins. I love that idea. It's like the establishment is gone. It's rotted mm-hmm. and it's just husks of it left. What has, maybe it hasn't brought them anything at all. These people probably were not, like, you know, they didn't have great harvest before or something like that. Who's to say that abandoning Christianity and trying to find something new is not the right path? Okay, ultimately the movie does boil down to them murdering him, but still, like, I think it makes a lot of good points of, like, who are you to judge? Like,
that's true.
Yeah, but also a very sexual movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Super sexual.
Super sexual movie. It was kind of caught me off guard by the amount of, like,
the amount of sexual.
Yeah, but it's all played in a way that's not. Again, not leering, and mm-hmm. It's not being sensualized. It's kind of just seen as it's a matter of fact way of, this is just the way they live.
Yeah, it's more like a culture thing. Like I remember being in Spain, them all being like very grabby, and I was like, wow, I guess people here are just way more free sexually. Like, they're just like, fine, let's all be half naked, and so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And the thing you're talking about, like, being grounded to nature, right? It's like, we don't see death, we don't see death. We see us returning to the soil. And isn't that not too dissimilar to, like, mm-hmm. the Christian idea of being, like,
purpose after death? I mean, the Christian idea is your body is, like, gone, and then
mm-hmm.
will be reawakened when Christ comes for the reckoning.
I guess in this interpretation, his death serves as reawakening in the form of harvest. Which ultimately is something that benefits them in while they're here and not while they're in a mortal realm and not something in the afterlife. So,
how does the volcanic soil play into anything? There's no volcano there.
I don't know. Like they said, is there no volcanoes in like the upper in the
no,
Scottish Isles?
No, they don't have any in Scotland.
Okay. Well, maybe they just made that up for the movie. Yeah, I really liked it. We haven't talked about Saruman. Christopher Lee is in this. He has. Amazing hair. I love the mm-hmm. I guess like casting him is like a very notable like because he's famous for those Hammer horror movies.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. In the 60s and 70s mm-hmm. he plays like Dracula and something like that. By casting him here, I think it's a very like great way of like establishing him as like this ominous figure that holds power over the but he plays it so well. they're all smiling the entire movie. They're all so friendly and so and not evil. Mm. Because in something like Midsommar, which I guess is the closest parallel, you can tell that there's something up with these Swedes. Like the movie shows them to be quite villainous, but here not so much. Lines are kind of blurred, and I really really like that. All right, anything else we want to add? All right, let's take a break, and we're back. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Seven reels.
I'm changing my opinion to like 5.5.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I fell asleep during the good parts, probably. But I remembered it being better or more thrilling.
Too much music.
Maybe that's yeah.
Too much singing.
A lot of singing.
Almost, it's almost a musical. You're right. Like I was like, oh wow, so much of this just them singing. But I thought the music was fine. It's kind of cute. I gave it a 6. I thought it was a very, very effective horror movie in a way that it doesn't feel like a horror movie. That's why I liked about it so much. It's like, oh, it's the horror is kind of all just kind of like the theological stuff was so much more interesting than the horror. Yeah. And you?
A 5.
A 5.
Okay. Good. Right. Solid.
Solid score.
I didn't like the animals being sacrificed.
Yeah. That's just pagans for you, though, isn't it? But doesn't Christianity, like Old Testament, involve a lot of like the sacrificial lamb is literally like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Jews followed the Old Testament.
That's true. And that's true.
Evil.
You heard it here on this podcast.
No. I take it back.
Got canceled the next day. We haven't uploaded this yet. Anyways, let's move on to what we've been watching this week. What have we been watching this week?
We all watch Master Gardener.
We all watch Master Gardener, the Schrader.
I got too high, though.
So. Yeah, you got too high. Can you form an opinion on it?
It's got some cool elements to it.
Cool.
But overall, I don't think it was like the best one.
It made me want to have a garden, but also like to have an established garden, which I'd already put all the thought and effort in.
Yeah.
Mm. So all I have to do is just do like maintenance and it looks nice.
Yeah, I love the distinction. Like he did research, I guess, on the difference of like.
Yeah,
the
there's a lot of research on this.
So that was kind of awesome to learn more about gardens while you watch this movie.
And also the garden, I guess flowers as symbolism is like big thing. It's like, can you, they start out as something, they turn into something else. They can blossom into something else.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. The more I think about it, the more I sat with it. I really, it's a good cap off of the trilogy, right? First Reform, Card Counter, this. And I think this is such an antithesis to both First Reform and Taxi Driver.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Taxi Driver, it's about a man who is consumed by this thought of retribution and vengeance until like he acts upon it and he commits it, and that's like a big climax. But in this one, it's almost like it plays in reverse. Here's a man who was raised with hatred, and he pruned himself from that. And in the end, when you expect him to do the big like violent stuff, he doesn't really do it. He breaks in and he kind of gives him a warning, but he doesn't commit. He doesn't give you the satisfaction. Instead, what does he find? That's what saves him is love. I think that's Schrader, kind of like a bit older, maybe not necessarily wiser, but like stepping back, I think he's like, ultimately, like what really will change you as a person is not like, you know, going down this path of darkness, but to try and find love at the end of the tunnel. And I thought it was quite powerful when she's having it from that perspective. It's weird how he kept going on like, this is the one that's going to really divide people. Obama's not putting this on his top 10. When it's his most sappy, it's the happiest ending that out of the entire trilogy. It doesn't end with the protagonist, like, you know, Ethan Hawke about to commit like something and Oscar Isaac being back in jail. Like, he got redemption. And okay, I liked it. Anyways, we finished Yellow Jackets season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Great. People online
I'm
not spoiling it, but people online were like very negative about it.
People at work don't like this season. They think it's too wacky. They don't think it was set up at all in season 1, which it is.
It
it's
is.
It's all set up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just think it's all random. And it's like, no, it makes sense.
Like, I think people will complain that it's a little bit slow, that nothing big really happens. But
it is getting wacky, but I think the wackiness makes sense. Like, yeah. I can buy it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I like the characters' journeys are all very consistent. I really quite liked it. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel ended. Mm-hmm. Final episode this Friday.
Yeah, and what's his name is the bad guy, right? The guy from Veep.
Oh, yes. He's Gordon Ford.
Gordon Ford.
Yeah. Not necessarily the bad guy. They play around with your perception of the actor, which is quite interesting. I think it ended quite well.
Now it's ended.
Like it's four seasons.
Like four seasons.
It's
just
five.
Oh, it's five seasons.
Okay, I couldn't.
But there's three are great.
Like, oh yeah, and then
the last two are like, eh. But the creators are known to not end things well. Like Gilmore Girls didn't end very well.
Mm. And what was the other one? They did.
I have no idea.
Was it Weeds?
Well, did they do Weeds?
Maybe.
I think, was that her who did Weeds? Yeah. I thought it was a great finale. It's hard to stick the landing with television. It's not like Sopranos finale level, like, oh my god, what's that television or what? But it's still quite sweet. And
I don't think I've ever watched the end of a TV show and liked it.
Mm.
And
yeah.
So this was like sufficient.
And I like it. Okay, so all the stuff they did at the beginning of the season.
The best
yeah.
I think you can hope for.
For a TV show.
Because I think, like, with Sopranos and Mad Men and stuff, it's that. It's like, okay, I feel, like, okay seeing mm-hmm. why I did this, but it's never, like, cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it that way, but...
Mm-hmm. They play around the structure a lot, because, like, the entire show is about whether she will succeed.
Roseanne, that's what she did.
Oh, did she do Roseanne?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but this final season kind of structures it as the idea, like, her succeeding is already a conclusion, like, it's already set up. You know she will succeed, and then it's just kind of like break, like, just setting up, like, how will she get there? It's just kind of the suspense is like what is actually going to be her big break. But overall, I think they did a pretty good job. Cinematography, I keep saying this, is very impressive for a TV show. Like, there's these like 5 minute long one-ers that are like dynamic and flows, and like doesn't feel like it's like trying to catch your attention. Like, oh, look at this, it's a one-er. It just flows with these characters as they talk. Yeah, I quite liked it. What have you watched?
I watched nothing, honestly.
Mm.
I watched two episodes of The Simpsons last night, so that was it.
At what point did the quality start dropping?
Well, I watched an episode from season 6, I think. It's the one where Homer quits his job, but then Maggie is, like, on the way, like, Marge gets pregnant, so he has to leave. Because he finds, like, working at a bowling alley with a specific budget doesn't work out, so he has to go back to work, and, yeah, it's really cute. It's the one, you know, the, like,
do it for her.
Yeah, it's that one, yeah.
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 How much of that, like, okay, I guess that's kind of underpinning, like, the American working man, right? Like, it's about that story.
Yeah.
Does that continue, like, throughout the rest of the show? Or
I don't think so. I think it goes, like...
That's what everyone...
Yeah.
Like, so many episodes.
It's such a long show.
There was a specific, like, through line throughout it where this is just an American family and we're gonna, like, try to... depict that in ways that are heightened, and then it just becomes a cartoon after a while. That's like a vessel for jokes, I think. Like, I think it's not the same thing as but anyways, so.
Alright, well, let's move on to our recommendations. I just completely blanked on them. I thought I had one, but I just completely blanked.
I call Midsommar.
I thought of one and now it's gone.
There's one. What's that movie? Ben Wheatley directed it. Rosemary's Baby. Alright, my one is Kill List by Ben Wheatley.
Have you seen it?
Yes. It's wonderful. It's another one of those movies that it starts where the occult angle kind of like...
Wait till we finish.
Okay.
Wait till we finish. What are you doing? We're almost done.
Okay,
alright, it's great.
No, it's
another movie where the occult kind of is like simmering underneath and then kind of rears his head at the end. All right.
Ooh.
Okay.
What are we watching
next week, Yusuf?
We're watching Paris, Texas.
Wim Wenders with Harry Dean Stanton.
R.I.P. I've never seen it, and I wanted to always, I mean, mm-hmm. it's always like on the art house essentials list, so mm-hmm. I figure it's about time. So
isn't it Klaus Kinski's daughter, Natasha Kinski?
As a, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All right. Well, see you all in Paris, Texas. I was gonna do a. Nice. No. Never mind.
Okay. Bye.
French and Southern accent.
The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Elbashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Elbashir. Thanks for listening.